Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of 3Tune Tuesday. I am your host, Bonaparte, and 3Tune Tuesday is my opportunity to whisk you away to a time when wind-up phonographs were the height of technology, and the art of recording music was still a wonder of acoustics. Today is Tuesday, November the 5th, 2024, and you have found your way to my digital abode, a quaint cottage nestled in the sprawling digital countryside where all are welcome. Come on inside and make yourself comfortable. Envision yourself settling into a large, plush Victorian chair, the kind that envelops you in comfort, with an old-fashioned stand-up radio beside you. Close your eyes, and let me guide you on a journey through time. Today we're going to be venturing even further back in time than usual, to the very dawn of recorded and recording music technology. Before the familiar crackle of a 78 RPM record that we're all familiar with here on 3Tune Tuesday, there was another format that captured the sounds of that bygone era, and that was the wax cylinder. So imagine, before shellac discs, music was molded onto delicate cylinders of wax. These cylinders were the precursors to the records that we know today. They held the voices of singers and the melody of instruments and the sounds of a world that was really on the cusp of great change. In the late 19th and early 20th century, there was remarkable transformation taking place. Electricity was beginning to illuminate homes and streets. The telephone was connecting distant voices, and the automobile was beginning to reshape the landscape. Amidst this whirlwind of innovation, a new form of entertainment was taking shape. It was bringing music into homes and hearts in a way never before imagined, and it was cylinder recordings. Today we'll be diving into this world of cylinder music, we'll explore its origins, and tell some stories. So settle in and let the sounds of the distant past transport you. So let's dive into the origins of these fascinating cylinders. The story, of course, begins in 1877 with Thomas Edison and his invention of the phonograph. Now, his initial vision for the phonograph wasn't primarily for entertainment. He imagined it as a tool for business dictation, recording books for the blind, and even preserving the last words of those nearing the ends of their lives. His early phonographs used tinfoil wrapped around a grooved cylinder to record and reproduce sound. A delicate sheet of tinfoil captured the vibrations of the human voice. These early recordings were faint and could only be played a few times before the tinfoil wore out, but it was a start, and it was a groundbreaking moment in the history of sound recording. Improvements were made. The flimsy tinfoil gave way to sturdier wax cylinders, and these wax cylinders could hold more sound. They were slightly more durable and could be reproduced more easily. Music could suddenly be captured and enjoyed in the comfort of one's home. By the late 1800s and early 1900s, cylinder phonographs were becoming increasingly popular. They were a fixture in parlors and drawing rooms, providing entertainment for families and friends. It was kind of the social media of the time, and it brought people together to share in the experience of listening to music. Cylinder records allowed people to hear renowned singers, instrumentalists, and even vaudeville performers without ever having to leave their homes. It was, at the time, truly a revolution. But as with all technology, particularly of the time, cylinders had their limitations. They were fragile, prone to breakage, and could only hold a few minutes of music. As technology progressed, ultimately the flat disc record emerged, which became more of a standard. These discs were more durable, could hold longer recordings, and were cheaper to produce. Gradually, the cylinder gave way to the disc, paving way for the 78 RPM records that would dominate the early 20th century. So let's turn our attention to the music itself. Our first selection takes us into the world of opera. opera is the drama of storytelling through music. In the early 20th century, it held a very prominent place in society, offering entertainment, cultural enrichment, and a common topic for discussion. Opera houses drew large crowds, and famous singers were very much celebrities of their time. Capturing these operatic performances on cylinder recordings was a remarkable feat. The opera itself was not recorded, of course. The singers and the musicians were shepherded into a recording studio to do this, but it was still remarkable nonetheless. It allowed those who were unable to attend live performances to experience the power and emotion of opera in their homes. Mise Rere, from Verdi's renowned opera Il Trovatore, serves as a prime example. Miserere is a duet filled with longing and despair and features two celebrated opera singers of the era, Anna Case and Paul Althaus. Anna Case was a soprano with a voice described as pure and silvery, and was a rising star in the American opera scene. Born in New Jersey in 1888, she began her musical journey singing in church choirs, and made her professional debut at the Metropolitan Opera in 1909. She quickly became a favorite and was known for her roles in operas such as Madama Butterfly and Les Bohèmes. Our tenor, Paul Althaus, possessed a robust and dramatic voice that captivated audiences. Born in Pennsylvania in 1889, he also rose to fame at the Metropolitan Opera, debuting there in 1913. He was particularly known for his interpretations of Wagnerian roles, with his voice soaring effortlessly through the demanding scores. So let's think back to 1914, the year that this particular recording was made. Picture yourself carefully placing a blue amberol cylinder onto the phonograph. These cylinders, the blue amberols, were first introduced by Edison in 1908, and they were an improvement over the previous wax cylinders that he had. The previous wax cylinders, while revolutionary, were also quite fragile. They were prone to scratches, cracks, and even melting because they were wax in warm temperatures. But the blue amberols were slightly different. They were made from celluloid, a new type of plastic that was much more durable and less susceptible to damage. Celluloid itself was a pretty remarkable invention. It was the first synthetic plastic created by combining nitrocellulose and camphor. This resulted in a material that was tough, flexible, and could be molded into various shapes. It was a far cry from the brittle wax of the earlier cylinders. This shift to celluloid not only increased the durability of the cylinders, but also allowed for longer recordings. Earlier wax cylinders could generally hold only about 2 minutes of music, but the blue amberols could now hold up to 4 minutes of music, making recording arias all the much easier to do. Before we continue, let's take a moment to talk about Skeleton Brew Coffee, the perfect complement to your 32 and Tuesday listening experience. Skeleton Brew is committed to quality, sustainability, and giving back. They source their beans ethically from small farms, ensuring fair wages and sustainable practices. The coffee is roasted in small batches to ensure maximum freshness. It does not get roasted until after they're ordered. That means coffee arrives at your house as fresh as could possibly be. And Skeleton Brew Coffee is not just about delicious coffee, which of course is very, very important. It's also about supporting a good cause. Every bag of Skeleton Brew Coffee purchased not only helps support us here at 32 and Tuesday, but it also supports legitimate and important nonprofit organizations. Through the rest of 2024, $1 from every bag purchased will be donated to the Internet Archive, an organization dedicated to providing free access to digital materials, including books, movies, music, and software. Now, about the coffee itself. There are 6 traditional roasts, ranging from light and bright to dark and bold, and whether you prefer a smooth and mellow cup or a rich and intense brew, there is something there for everyone. And for the holiday season, there are 3 special Yule roasts with festive flavors, including their very famous Yule blend. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the coffee lover in your life, check out their special bundles. They include a selection of great coffees, along with a charming book entitled "'Twas the Night Before Yule." So visit Skeleton Brew Coffee at https://skeletonbrew.coffee and discover the difference that ethically sourced, small-batch roasted coffee can make. Your taste buds and your conscience will thank you. Remember, every cup of Skeleton Brew brewed helps keep the music playing here at 32 and Tuesday. Now, from the dramatic intensity of Verdi, we're turning now to the enchanting world of Mozart. Our next selection takes us to the realm of the Magic Flute, one of the most beloved operas of all time. Premiering in Vienna in 1791, just months before Mozart's death, this opera has captivated audiences for centuries with its blend of fairy tale, comedy, and profound symbolism. It's a story of love, of loss, and the triumph of good over evil, all set to some of Mozart's most memorable music. This piece is the enchanting Die Holde Weiblichkeit, which translates to divine womanhood. This aria, sung by the character of Tamino, is a tribute to feminine virtue and strength. It's a beautiful melody that showcases Mozart's genius for expressing deep emotion through music. Our performer today is Oskar Stolberg, a German baritone who enjoyed a successful career in the early 1900s. Stolberg was known for his rich voice and expressive interpretations, making him a sought-after performer in opera houses across Europe. He was particularly admired for his Mozart roles, and his rendition of Die Holde Weiblichkeit captures the aria's essence very beautifully. Now, this recording on an Edison cylinder is significant because it offers us a glimpse into the early days of recording technology and the efforts to preserve the voices of prominent singers. Edison cylinders were, of course, as we had discussed, the precursor to the disc records we know today. They represent a pioneering era in sound recording. So let's turn to the song, recorded on an Edison cylinder in 1914. Close your eyes and imagine yourself listening to the song as you sit in your very large, comfortable Victorian chair.
Mädchen und den Frauen sei dieses Lied geweiht. Ich schwärme ja von jeher für die holde Weiblichkeit. Nach hübschen jungen Damen, da schau ich gerne hin. Nur wenn sie Schleppen tragen, sind sie nicht nach meinem Sinn. Für ein Ballkleid bin ich nicht empfänglich. Oben so kurz und unten viel zu länglich. Da wäre nach meiner Meinung das Beste jedenfalls. Sie schneiden ein Stück von unten ab und hängen es um den Hals. Die allermeisten Frauen, die tragen ein Korsett von kolossalen Formen, es sieht aus wie so ein Überbrett. Und diese Brettmaschine, die schnüren sie so knapp, da kriegt man schließlich Angst, man denkt, jetzt bricht die Taille ab. Mode ist recht schlank sein und recht hager. Ach, die Damen, die hungern sich jetzt mager. Vor Schrecken ruft der Ehemann, nein, nein, ich bitte sehr. Denn machst du das so weiter, behalte ich schließlich gar nichts mehr. Wird in der Damenmode was Neues steht erdacht, jetzt werden Damenpelze schon aus Affenfell gemacht. Schon sprach eine Modedame zu ihrem geistigen Mann. Ach, liebes Männchen, schaff mal auch so einen Affenmantel an. Doch der Mann sprach in der großen Weise. Nein, die Felle, die stehen so hoch im Preise. Warum kamst du denn nicht früher als Affe auf der Welt? Da hättest du gleich einen Affenfell und brauchst dazu kein Geld. Reformkleid ist jetzt Mode, doch ich muss eingestehen, ich finde so ein Reformkleid für die Damen gar nicht schön. Die Alten mögen es tragen, so ein Kleid ist ja bequem, jedoch bei jungen Damen ist den Herrn nicht angenehm. Drum, ihr Mädchen, ach lasst euch jetzt sagen, wollt ihr mal einen Mann, dürft ihr so ein Kleid nicht tragen, so ein Kleid sieht ja wie ein Sack aus, das ist mir denn mein Geschmack. Man will doch auch was sehen, man kauft die Katze nicht im Sack. Ein Mädchen von Erfahren geht auf den ersten Ball. Ein Jüngling sieht sie, liebt sie, will sie küssen, Knall und Fall. Das Mädchen aber sagte, als eine du mich küsst, da musst du mir erst sagen, was überhaupt die Liebe ist. Ach, sagte er, das Höchste für uns beide, es ist so ein Gefühl aus Schmerzen und aus Freude. Aus Schmerz und Freude sprach er, dann lass mein liebes Herz, denn sonst hast du die Freude und ich hab den Schmerz.
Stolberg's performance truly captures the spirit of Mozart's music. His voice, rich and resonant, brings Tamino's admiration for feminine virtue to life. It's a testament to the power of music to transcend time and connect us to the emotions and experiences of those who came before us. Our final selection for the day transports us to the romantic world of The Bohemian Girl, an opera by Michael William Balfe. This opera, which premiered in London in 1843, tells the tale of Arlene, an abducted child raised by gypsies, who falls in love with a Polish nobleman. Filled with passion, intrigue, and mistaken identities, The Bohemian Girl was a sensation in its time, and its popularity continued well into the early 20th century. One of the most beloved arias from the opera is I Dreamt I Dwelt in Marble Halls, a hauntingly beautiful melody that captures Arlene's longing for a life she can barely remember. It's a song that speaks of lost memories, hidden identities, and the enduring power, of course, of love. Our performer for this piece is John W. Myers, a popular baritone who graced the stages of many opera houses in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Myers was known for his powerful voice and charismatic stage presence. He made numerous recordings on various formats, including cylinders and early discs, preserving his talent for generations to come. This particular recording was captured on a Columbia cylinder, the Columbia record label. Back in the 1890s, Columbia was recording music, and they were using brown wax cylinders. These brown wax cylinders were known for their relatively good sound quality and were popular among collectors and music enthusiasts.
I dreamt I dwelt in Marble Hall, sung by J.W. Myers, Columbia Records. I dreamt that I dwelt in Marble Hall, with vassals and serfs at my side, and of all who assembled within those walls, that I was the hope and the pride. I had riches too great, too countable, of a high ancestral name. But I also dreamt, which pleased me most, that you loved me still the same, that you loved me still the same, that you loved me still the same. I dreamt that Sulker sought my hand that night upon bended knees, and with vows no maiden's heart could withstand, they fled their faith to me. And I dreamt that one of that noble host came forth my hand to claim. But I also dreamt, which charmed me most, that you loved me still the same, that you loved me still the same, that you loved me still the same.
Myers' rendition of this song is truly captivating. His voice is full of emotion and longing, and it really brings Arlene's dream to life. It's a reminder, as our other songs are, of the power of music to transport us to other worlds, to evoke deep emotions, and to connect us to the past. And as the echoes of John Myers' voice fade away, we come to the end of our journey through the world of cylinder music today. I hope these selections have been able to mentally transport you back to a time when music was a precious and intimate experience, shared in the warmth of one's home, surrounded by the gentle hum of a phonograph. It's truly remarkable to consider the ingenuity and artistry that brought music into our lives over 100 years ago. From the invention of the phonograph to the development of the wax cylinder, These early pioneers paved the way for the rich and diverse musical landscape we enjoy today. I hope you've gained a new appreciation for the delicate beauty and historical significance of these cylinders. They are not merely relics of the past, but vessels of memory, carrying within them the voices and sounds of a bygone era. Thank you for joining me today on this edition of Three Tune Tuesday. Until next time, I am, as always, your host Bonaparte, bidding you farewell from my cozy digital cottage, where the music of the past always finds a home.